stand on their feet and sing it. And by the way, just when I told him, I said this is Philip's favourite song. It used to be Philip's favourite song. Number 97. Do you know it's Philip's birthday today, I believe?
Happy birthday, sing
the favourite song. Well, we wish you a happy birthday. We have that stuff for time. Very happy. 61, bro.
Praise the Lord.
Well, you definitely don't look at it. Let us know your things when we go to sing.
Praise the Lord.
Ian, you'll have to start us off with it.
Oh,
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad the Holy Ghost,
amen,
the Comforter, has come? Hallelujah.
Amen.
The promise of the Father given. Hallelujah. The Comforter has come. I'm glad tonight for the Holy Ghost power, for resurrection power, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Now we just bow our heads just before we read His word tonight. Father God, we bow in Thy presence tonight. And we know, Lord, that You said that for two or three are gathered in Your name, You're there in the midst. And oh Lord Jesus, we just commit ourselves to Thee this evening. We pray, God, that You will come indeed. Lord, we believe You have come. We believe You're right here in our midst tonight because of what Thy word says. And oh Father God, we pray tonight that You'll take of this word.
Hallelujah.
You'll quicken the word, even as it's read, Lord, and You'll quicken it to our hearts tonight.
Hallelujah.
Oh God, that we might be encouraged in this evil time and evil day in which we live, Lord. Lord, that we might set our eyes upon Thee and look to Thee once again for Thy deliverance and for Thy mercy. For we ask this blessing tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus. Lord, we take authority, not in our own name nor by our own power, but in that name, the name that's high above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus. We bind every work of the enemy tonight, and we pray, God, let the presence and power of the Holy Ghost move in our hearts tonight for Thy glory. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Praise God tonight for His mercy. I just want to turn over in your Bible since just a couple of scriptures here tonight, or some scriptures are in my mind, but I'd like to just turn tonight to Psalm 42 and just a few verses from Psalm 44 and just a few verses from Psalm 44, and praise God tonight for His mercy and for His grace. Amen. And you know, thank the Lord for His goodness till us even this day and this time in which we live. Praise the Lord. And Psalm 44 says, we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work Thou didst in the days and the times of old, how that Thou didst drive out the heathen with Thy hand, and Thou plantest them, how that Thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but Thy right hand and Thy arm, and the light of Thy countenance, because Thou hadst favour unto them. Thou art my King, O God, command deliverance from Jacob. Says, through Thee we will push down our enemies, and through Thy name we will tread them that rise up against us. Praise God tonight. We know God that bless His word tonight, and we know that God will undertake that He looks after to perform that which is said. Now you may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord tonight. You know, just some of the things that are happening and playing out in the Bible, just maybe over the years, and read the scripture, and you know, I always thought to myself that it's nice for to read God's word and look over God's word, and it's nice for to see God doing the things that He's promised in His word. And you know, sometimes I thought some time back, you know, for years I was in a backslidden condition, and when the Lord brought me back to that place, I often thought about the coming in of the Lord. And now, well, I want to say this, that I sort of determined in myself that I would always try and speak about the coming of the Lord Jesus and about the time, about the end times and the time that we live in. And you know, we live in perilous times. You know, the Bible says to Timothy, in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, boasters, blasphemers. And that's the day that we live in. We live in that day. We live in the last days. We're living in the Laodicean church age. And there's so much stuff tonight, and so many things could be said tonight about the Laodicean church age. So many things could be said tonight about what's taking place in the world tonight. And we've seen, I was watching a program there on TV, just watched it last night. It was about the evacuation from Dunkirk. And you know, man has forgot what God has done for man. Man has forgot in this country how God delivered them and how that God saved them from our enemies. And you know, they have taken all this stuff, they have a lot of stuff today that they have taken for granted. And they took it as just, you know, like the story, it is really like that story about the wee woman at the brawler told here, you know, I've related it in here several times and different times about God supplying the wee woman's needs and how she prayed and how that she went over all how God always met her need. And Don and the man was listening at the window and heard the prayer, and he went and bought the whole, what would you say, the whole basket of stuff, bought all the stuff that she went over, and then sat at her door and wrapped her door, and then how that he come round when she had brought it in and all, and he sat down and all, and she said, "From there you are, look how God supplied all my needs." And then he turned round and he said to her, "Oh, God didn't supply your needs." He says, "I heard your prayer when you were praying," and he says, "I bought you all that stuff." But you know, that story shows you the courage that woman had. It not only shows you the courage she had, but it shows you the faith she had. And it shows you that she wasn't looking to man for man's ideas or for man's thoughts or what man could do for her or what somebody could do for her, but she was really looking for God. And she said to him, "Isn't it wonderful how that God could use an old devil like you to supply my needs?" And you know, it's so true. It is true. But you see, people today, they've forgot that. And you know, unless they were talking about how that they were on the beaches at Dunkirk, and how that the enemy planes raped them with machine gun fire and fired shells. They're even finding shells yet. It showed them digging up a couple of shells with a digger and putting a charge on them and blowing them up. And all fine, still finding shells there yet, and stuff that was used, warheads and stuff that was used when them soldiers and whatever was on the beach and all those people that were there for to try to be brought back to England, how that they come on them. And then, you know, they said they wondered where the Air Force was. But it seemed that the Air Force was engaged in the sky with a Spitfire against the enemy for to keep them from really wreaking more havoc on the beach than they already had done. And you know, I've read accounts of the evacuation from Dunkirk. I've read accounts of it where men wrote about it and the different things about it. And I read, you know, I was reading in one place where one man said the sea was the calmest ever it was at that time. Well, that time of year it was very calm sea when they went in all the small craft for to bring them back. And you know, you see, they said that God usually, they didn't say God, but they said it was the RAF that wrought the miracle for them. Well, you know, the psalmist said here, he says, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us the work that thou did." You see, they hadn't forgot God here. And they were still telling their children how that God had delivered them out of Egypt. How that he had made a way where there was no way through the Red Sea. How that he delivered them and how that he had undertaken for them. And you know, you see, sometimes we're so quick for to try to meet our own needs. When you know God said, "Commit your way unto him and he'll direct your path." We're so quick sometimes we try to furnish for ourselves. But you know, really and truthfully, if we rest, God will furnish. You know, David said that God furnished the table for him in the presence of his enemies.
Amen.
You know, it said there, God really and truthfully is the provider.
Yes.
You know, whenever Paul come to Mars Hill, it said that he found a plaque and it said unto the unknown God. What did Paul say to them? He said, "God is not far from you, for in him you live, on him you move, on him you have your being." It was God that undertook for them. It was him that sent the rain. It was him that sent the sunshine. It was him that made the provision that their crops would go, that they might have the sustenance that they had. And you know, when they were in the wilderness where there was no place where you could cultivate or do that, God fed man on angels' food.
Amen.
Not only did he feed them on angels' food, the Bible tells me that their clothes didn't wax old, neither did their shoes waste away. They were as good at the end of the 40 years as when they had first started. But you know that people, do you know what that people done? That people chided against God. They limited the Holy One of Israel. And you know, because they limited God, God said to them, you will not go in the promised land. And you know, they didn't go in the promised land. It said their carcasses fell in the wilderness. And the only ones that went in the promised land was Moses and Caleb and Joshua and their sons. And all them people that were over from over 20 and onwards down, that generation, that old generation that come out of Egypt, that limited God, never went into the promised land. And you know, Jesus referred to them. And Jesus referred to them. And Jesus said they were dead. And you know, that's some statement. Because of unbelief. You see our country today, the situation that it's in. And you know, I don't want to sound political tonight, but I'll tell you something tonight. The leader of the country went in with a white flag and surrendered. And you might say, oh, I don't know about that, but I'm telling you, watch this year's outcome of this. And I'll tell you, if they don't make a clean break with Europe, you're going to see real trouble. And you're going to see real persecution on the true believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you think for one minute that they'll not persecute us. They'll persecute us all right. But all set in motion. They want to rewrite the Bible. They're already retelling history. They're already rewriting history. And when you hear them telling the history on the TV, they're telling truth with a twist to it.
Yes.
And that's how you unite, that's what it is. What does the devil do? What did he do? He never tells a lie, he perverts the truth.
Amen.
And that's what Satan's doing at this moment. And Satan is against the bride of Jesus Christ.
Right.
But the Bible says that he is the faithful witness.
Amen.
That he has overcome. And he says, who is he that overcometh? But he that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ. He
Amen.
Says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, today, England and the Protestant people today, they're in a daze. They're sleepwalking. They're sleepwalking into the land of their enemies. Their old son, the grandsons of their old enemies, is the ones that's making the rules in Europe. And they know they couldn't stand up for truth. You know, a matter, let people say what they like about the President Trump, but I say that God put him there. And the lady in England should have listened to what he told her. He told her right. He should have done it. Ah, but you say, Brother Billy, what's that to do with Christianity? Well, it might be a whole lot, but it's one thing tonight we can see where we're at. And that's the importance of God. That's why God sent a messenger. And that's why God sent an angelic messenger, an angel messenger, in this last church age.
Amen.
To warn us so that we even know what's the truth. You know, people might get a hot under the collar if I would say some things tonight. You mightn't say, oh, you say, well, I don't believe that. I don't think that's right. But let me tell you tonight that the message that God sent is, thus saith the Lord. And that us saith the Lord is the truth. And why did he send that message? He sent that message so that we could go in that ark. That we would go in the catching up of the saints. Somebody might say to you, oh, what do you need? You need the Holy Ghost. But listen, I tell you tonight, you do need the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you'll not go. But you know tonight, the whole Pentecostal world, they're actually, practically, they're deceived. Really deceived. You know, people say, oh, I can't believe, oh, that's not right for her. But let me ask you a question tonight. How can you turn around? And how Martin Luther said the Pope was the Antichrist. Martin Luther said he was none other than that man of sin. Now, listen, I want to ask a question tonight. I've heard men preaching and they've said some things that I know is not right. Well, if they're not right about some things, they could be wrong about other things.
Right.
And let me ask you a question tonight. Some people say, now listen, God bless, I'm saying this here tonight from a pulpit tonight, it's on a tape. I say, God bless the Brown. I say, God bless the Baptist. God bless these different denominations. But let me tell you tonight this. Can you find these denominations in this book? You can. But I'll tell you something tonight. God didn't give one fella a certain thing and say, now you are the ones that has got it all, or you are the ones that got it all. But let me tell you tonight, there is only one gospel, and there is only one truth, and there is only one church, and that church is the blood-washed church, the first begotten, and the first begotten from the dead was the Lord Jesus Christ. And that church is a mystical body which he hath redeemed by his own blood. And it doesn't have a title like Baptist, Pentecostal, or Methodist. It doesn't have any of these titles. And when you say, Brother M, do you say then, listen, God didn't say but don't misunderstand me tonight. The bride are the called out ones.
Yeah.
And if God called you out tonight and call you, he'll not call you into a system. He'll call you out of a system. And I want to tell you tonight, they stupid, what did they do? Substituted. They substituted the Holy Ghost for what? For man's education and for man's teaching. And when they substituted the Holy Ghost for that, they got a college of prophets and a priesthood that took them into popery.
Yes.
And then you have what Luther, you have Luther coming out, and Luther did come out with truth. And Luther came out with the truth that the just shall be lived by faith. Now don't you think that he wasn't a good Roman Catholic. He was a good Roman Catholic. He done all he could do. He said the prayers, he counted his beads. He had adoration to Mary, he had the different things, but he could find no peace. And he done all the works. He fasted, he prayed, he done everything. He done his penance, he done them. But he still could find no peace. But one day, God opened his heart to the truth, the just shall live by faith.
Yeah.
And God opened his heart to the scripture. And he realized that man wasn't justified by works or by deeds that he would do. That man was justified because of the finished work of Calvary and the work that Jesus Christ had done to the cross.
Yeah.
There's no one who's worthy tonight. I'm not worthy, and you're not worthy. Not a one is worthy tonight. It's not by any good that you've done. But you know what the Bible says about our goodness and our righteousness? You know what it says? It says it's our filthy rags in God's sight. It's no good. It can't take you to heaven. And if you're of this meeting tonight and you never have been regenerated by the Holy Ghost, never had a born again birth, you won't go if Jesus comes. And if you die in that condition, you'll go to hell. You'll go to the place of the lost. You'll go to the place of the damned. But you must be regenerated by the Holy Ghost and by time. You know something? Paul, when he come preaching, Paul said, I have declared the whole counsel of God to you. What did he say to them? He said before he departed, he said that when I am gone out from amongst you, there'll come in wolves and sheep's clothing, and they'll bring in damnable heresies. Then I am even the Lord that bought them. And he says that they'll abstain from meats forbidden tomorrow, all the different things, that there'll be a celibate priesthood, that there'll be this, there'll be that. And all those things that come in, come right down in. And then what did they get? They got down here and cut it all down to come quick till it could say it. They come right down to the day they have a world council of churches. I heard a man saying not so long ago that they'll build an image to the beast. And he said they'll have such power that he'll give the image life and live in them. He said that this beast that they'll make, this image, it'll be wounded by the sword and they'll have power to raise it again. And this is now, he was preaching this and he said this is what it'd be. But you, tonight, it's not, we know that's not right. We know it's a system. And I'm going to tell you tonight what that system is. That system's the World Council of Churches. Well, you say, what? Yes, it's the World Council of Churches.
Yes.
You know, I was reading a wee bit in that book of Brother Brown's, I was reading the Church Ages. And he said about a man, this man was a businessman, he wasn't even a Christian man. You know what he said? He said that he couldn't understand why they had these professors in these seminaries supposed to be teaching the Bible and teaching the things. And he said that they were teaching the things that they were teaching, was trying to prove the Bible, trying to prove that the things of the Bible weren't right, that they were wrong. And that's what they have been said in these places to teach young people. To try to guide them and say, oh, you're a good Christian, or you're this and that. No, I've heard them all. I've heard that television is full of women proposing to give the word of the Lord. It's not the word of the Lord. Don't you believe it for one moment? Oh, you say, brother? No, no. It's not. You turn on the thing today, you've got, I said, disabilities. You've got a woman prime minister here. You've got one in England. You've got one in Germany. And you take all the other circles in government, there's a woman that's ahead of them. You've even got a woman ahead of the police now. Well, you say, brother, you think a woman shouldn't? Yes, I do. I think what Paul said was right. Paul said, suffer not a woman to teach her, serve authority over. And you know, I'm going to tell you something tonight. You get people and they come and they'll say, oh, I have a word from the Lord for you. A word from the Lord for you. You've been very careful of words from the Lord. Why did the Lord not give you it yourself first? Now let some more as a gift of the Spirit confirm it to you.
Amen.
Why not do it the Bible way? Why not do it? Why do they want to do it man's way? You know, what did you call that old boy? I've done this thing and he done it my way. Oh, what did you call him?
Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra is a bright one. I done it my way. They're all doing it my way today. But you know the best way is God's way.
Amen.
There's only one way. And that's God's way. And you know tonight, they want to take any way, on every way, but God's way. I watched a program at Come On, it said, Mysteries of the Bible Revealed. I've probably said this in here before, I want to say it again. And they said, you know, the children of Israel, whenever they come out on the Red Sea, it said that probably at that time of the year, the thing was a sharp wind coming, the sea was low, the place so it was able to, they got across all right. And then he said, that pillar of fire that followed, it was a volcano. And they said they were that volcano that go back in history and they could find out that volcano erupted in such a time. And that's the pillar of fire. They followed the volcano and it was leading them towards the part that should go. They followed the volcano. So that was the mystery revealed. But he never named the mystery of the manna from heaven. Nor he never named the clothes not wearing out or the shoes not wearing out. He never named that. He didn't know the dirt. He couldn't name that. Do you know something? You know something? Maybe you get some young fella coming out of school and he's heard so much pep in school, so much nonsense in school, the stuff that they're teaching them today and putting them out, the stuff that they're giving them out today, that he thinks that this stuff is his. At half time they think fairy tales are real.
Right.
And they hear that stuff and they say, oh, I don't know. You know, they had a wee book down in the school where some of the sweet children go to it. And it was about a Muslim family. And it was a brown lady went in and she asked them, why could they not have won about a Christian family? And the woman was teaching now, professes to be a Christian woman. Now the woman's only doing her job, she's following what she's asked to do. Yeah, that's understandable. But she said she didn't make the book, she was only following the orders that there was. He was taking orders from a higher authority. But she was doing like she'd been a good servant of doing what she was asked to do. But you understand, and they're about a wee Muslim family. And you know, some people might say, no, that man doesn't like Muslims. Doesn't that? No, no, it's not. It's to show you something, didn't it? You know, I said this figured in before. In here, in the early 50s, there was 5,000 Muslims in England. And today there's over 2 million. And in 2001, there were 25,000 conversions to Islam in England. What has happened? Why have they not asked for the good ways? You know, I remember. It's maybe I shouldn't be saying these things on the tape, but I want to say them to you. To try to listen, I'm not telling these people. I'm telling you facts tonight, and I'm telling you tonight that we're at the end time. And you know, our Matthew and some one or two young lads had chummed about them, and they went on a holiday. I don't know where they went. They went somewhere on a holiday. I think it was maybe Greece. They went. They went someplace on a holiday, and during the time they were on the holiday, they fell in with 3 young girls from England. And they sort of befriended him and they got friendly with him, and they come back home, they wrote to him, and then they phoned him now and then. And then, if I can remember right, I think them three young girls come over here. And I can remember Matthew coming in and saying to me that these three young girls were coming, and what would they do? Well, I said, they just invite them over. Well, I said, now when they do come, don't ask the time to be smart, they're at the smart fella. You just have to treat them rightly. That says they're someone's daughter. They're some mommies and daddies, that's their daughter. And that says you have to have respect for them and treat them right. And an RV lad said, I don't want her to come at all. And he says, I'm going to ask her. He says, I don't know what she is. Is she a Catholic or a Protestant? And he says, I'm going to phone her, and maybe she hears that we're Protestants. She's a Catholic, she'll not come. And he phoned her up, and he said to her, still out on the phone, what religion are you, girl? What are you? She says, what do you mean, what am I? Are you a Catholic or a Protestant? No, she said to him. She said to him, I don't know. I'll have to ask my dad. And she shouted back from where the phone was into the house, and she said, Dad! And he said, yes. She said, what religion are we? Oh, he said, we're Presbyterians. We're Presbyterians. Well, you see, that was all right, but you know, this young girl didn't know. She didn't know, she never heard. You know what the Bible says? The Bible, now you can't save your children. It's only God that can save them. But the Bible says you train them up in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they're not depart from it. And you know, maybe sometimes in life you might do all you can do, and that's good. And you know, it might seem like that they're done the opposite from what you told them. And in a lot of cases that takes place. The very thing that you told them is the opposite thing that they'll do. Well, that's just the way it is. But sometimes it happens like that. You know, the biggest mistake you can make, the biggest mistake you can make is try to counteract that under your own goal. Amen. Don't do it. Amen. Commit it to the Lord.
Amen.
You commit all them things to the Lord. And you rest in God's word, and you commit to the Lord. And sooner or later, God somewhere will move down the line. You know, I often thought about my grandma on the Kinsley side. She went to a wee Brian Hall. And now she never seen my father saved. She was dead before that. But I'm sure she prayed for him to get saved. And I'm sure many's the time the enemy would come along and say, oh, well, you're not getting any younger. And nothing has never happened. And you know, but never get like that. Never let that abide you. Always commit them to the Lord. Always commit your family to the Lord. Always put the Lord first in everything you're going to do.
Amen.
Always ask the Lord for guidance, no matter what it is. Even the simplest thing, ask him. Commit it to the Lord and ask the Lord to guide. Because God has promised to look after us.
Amen.
You know, he said, here we have heard, our fathers have told us what thou didst. They have told us what thou didst. And you know, I've heard so much talk, I've watched programs about the First World War. And boy, I tell you, they got some killing. They got some killing. You see some of the footage of some of them films that are filmed on the battlefield. You can't begin even to imagine what it was like. You know, they made a film. It's a powerful, gory film. I watched it. I watched a bit of it the second time, and I didn't watch anymore. I just couldn't. It's a gory film. And that film was the saving of Private Ryan. When you see in that film, you actually seen, they actually got animals that were dead, and they shot them. And they shot them with the 303 and the German Mauser rifle that the German army had. They shot them with them rifles. And they were fit to fill it, the bullet hitting them and coming out. And what it done when it was coming out at the other side. And you said, it might sound a wee bit gory tonight, maybe for in a meeting with his children or. But I tell you, the battlefield was a gory place. The battlefield was a field of death,
yes,
and a field of killing. And you know, a man said to me, an old man who's knuckling my mom, Jack Watt, I often say, talk about Jack. Jack had a good testimony. He had a good testimony, and he was saved. And you know, I'm telling you, Jack Watt, you know, he lived right after he was saved. And you know, I've saved a lot for people. And you know, Jack said to me one day, we were working over in the barn and we were mixing up fertilizer for sowing. And it come on a shower of rain, it was raining rightly, and he said to me, if I asked you to do something. Now, he didn't talk about the war at all. And you know, I had asked him questions one time, and my mom told me not to be asking him any questions about it. He didn't like to talk about it, so I didn't ask any questions. He just said to me, would you do something for me? And I said, aye, Jack, what would you want me to do? He says, could you take your shirt off and run over from where you were at the barn to what we call the bar? There's at the lane, you come round the lane, there's a bar there, still there. And he said, do you think, could you run over there and run back and not get a spot of rain on you? Aye, he says, I don't think I could, Jack. Well, I bet. He says, do you think, could you do it? I says, I don't think I could. And all I said, could everybody do it? Well, he said, now that's what it was like when you got out of the trenches. He says, that's what the bullets were coming like rain. He said, it was only the grace of God, he said, that you lived. You know, that was the truth. It was only the grace of God that you did live. For such a hail of things. And if you see what, even if you shoot at targets or shoot with them rifles, do you see the way they can dig the ground? You can imagine what happens when they hit a human being. I can tell you something. It's beyond comprehension. Nobody knows the sacrifice them men made. We only can begin to think about what it was like, how terrible it was. And you know, there it is. Why would they go in? You see, man's greedy. Then I read the scripture here one week, I read from Isaiah, where he said they were all dumb dogs. They all lay down to slumber and sleep. Greedy dogs, he said, they love to have it so. Said tomorrow, we'll go back there in the day, and we'll take our fill of wine. We'll make more money. You know, they're on. I heard them on talking, they were talking about what they have a thing here called, I may be not saying the word right, called dard. Now, dard is the striped farming here, but they don't realize it yet, but there'll come a day, well, just like the common market, where there grants the striped farming here too. But they haven't caught on yet. But they'll catch on before too long. And that is the way it is in this country. How they turned round and went down with their enemies. Oh, you say, oh yes, I believe this, the right. But you see, the Bible says the whole world will be the same. Now, I might say something here this evening you might agree with. And I don't want to say anything to be offensive to anybody. But you know, a great man in this land, and was mightily used to God, and how could they turn around and make peace? How could they make peace with what really was the enemy? And done the thing, and they said, oh well, this not. I'll tell you how they done it. They done it because it's the age for to do it. And they done it because there's a purple dark in here tonight. It's pretty well having light in here, isn't it? We're sitting in the dark. What? Sure, there's lights all over the place. Oh, that's all them on the lights. That's not light. That's dark. We'll go outside to the light. Hey, you lost your senses. Why, that's the thing to say to people in gospel meeting, isn't it? Oh, there's no light here. We're in the dark in here. We'll have to go outside into the light. Oh, aye. Do you like sugar in your tea? Oh, I do. Right, we'll give you a cup with none in it. Hey, no sugar in that tea, fellow. Oh, you're joking. There is sugar in it. I'll give you one here and without sugar. And I'll put 2 spoonfuls in and give it to you. Sweet bitter. Bitter sweet. Light darkness. Darkness light. That's the spirit of someone. The spirit of the Nicolaitans. John talked about it when he was in the Isle of Patmos. And he talked about it because the Lord said to him, that the thing amongst you, the thing which I hate, the deeds of the Nicolaitans. I hate that. And what did that do? That organized the church away from the Holy Ghost. And not only did it organize away from the Holy Ghost, it organized it and took it into the dark ages. And when it took it into the dark ages, there was persecution for those people that were real Christians. You know, in one place in Revelations he says, "Thou hast them amongst thee, was hold of the digs of the Nicolaitans." Where were they? They were there. And I was speaking to the boys the other night, I said, where were the weeds growing? Where did the weeds grow? Did they grow on a field on their own? No, they grew in amongst the, they grew amongst the wheat. That's where the weeds grew. They grew among the wheat. They were in among the wheat. And they're in among the wheat and they come in by stealth. And when they come in by stealth, you know, I used to have a thing in the Bible, I don't know where, if I could, it'd be great, I maybe don't have it in this one now. But boys, if I could find it, I'll read it to you. But you know, it's a powerful example. I might be able to come on. Just give me a wee second and look what. I probably set it out. There's that much stuff. Wee notes here and wee notes there. Really not a whole lot of stuff on them, but if I just would have had it just to read it to you. But it's so true. Praise the Lord. Let's see what I have in this one. It's not that. No. Praise God. But it's just I don't want to try to quote it to you in case I quote it to you wrong. But you know, they substituted the Holy Ghost for education. Just like a man said to me one time, you need to be affiliated. You need to have affiliation. You need to be joined to something. Where he says, like the times that we live in, he says these times, he says you need to be affiliated to something. And you know, people fell for that too at the start, in early times, in the start. And they become affiliated, and when they become affiliated, the next thing that happened was they were swallowed up by an organization. They were took over by organization. And when they were took over by organization, what happened? The Holy Ghost went out the window. You'd see things and they'd say, "Oh, we're ordaining such an amount to the ministry." They're ordaining people that don't even know why they're called or not. How did they ordain them in the early church? They laid their hands on them and prayed for them that they would receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And God spoke through the gifts of the Spirit and said why they were called or not. Now many places could you go down a day and they'll do it. But all really, there's a false thing going on. There's a false going on. And already you have these supposing to give the word of the Lord. You've seen it on, I seen it when someone's phone showed me, it was the Bible. What did he say? He came in the spirit of Elijah. And he came in the spirit of Elijah, and then some of the men prayed for the Pope, asked for prayer. Some of them prayed for the Pope. And they prayed for the Pope in tongues. Who knew what they were saying? Nobody knew what they were saying. God knew what was being said. You see, the Pentecostals took that hook, line and sinker. Must be the Holy Ghost. It must. That's, you see, that's why people is the way they are today. And that's why it is today, you see. That's why you must really know God's Word. That's why you must study the Word of God. And if you study the Word of God and take the Word of God and read the Word of God, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it doesn't matter how good it is or how real it is. Let it alone. Don't take it. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't speak with tongues, but I'm saying tongues is a gift of the Holy Ghost. But tongues is not really the evidence that you've got the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham said he is in Africa. And he saw witches speaking in tongues and interpreting, and he seen demons speaking tongues and writing tongues. So it doesn't prove, that doesn't prove anything. And you see, when you hear them on, get a testimony here about the wee girl he met on the plane, and how that they were trained, and how that they heard the voice of the cardinal speaking in tongues. And they're missing a priest on one time years ago on TV. And he not only spoke with tongues, he discerned the thoughts and intents of their hearts too, and told them the different things about the given word of knowledge. But she said to the wee girl, and her mom said, well, what do you think? She said they were evil men. They weren't right. And he led her to the Lord and talked to her about the Lord and be born again. And she accepted the Lord on the plane. She come to the knowledge of salvation. You see, the Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Salvation. Salvation. Paul not only preached it, he demonstrated it. He demonstrated God's power. And when he demonstrated God's power, people were able to see the power of God. And Paul said, look, what did Paul say? Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And he said, even if an angel or somebody comes and preaches any other gospel unto you and has really been preached unto you, let him be accursed. So there it is. What Paul preached was the genuine gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And like we heard this morning, it's the simplicity of the gospel. It's not, you can't do nothing. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is come as you are. If you say, I'll clean up and come, you can't clean up, because your clean up's no use. If you could clean up, if you could have cleaned up, Jesus never need have died. But you can't do it. You have to come because of what took place in the Garden of Eden. Because when sin entered in Eden, man's communication with God and man's ability to have with God was severed. He forfeited it. And there had to come one who had no sin. No. And there was no one on the earth that wasn't a sinner. For every man that was born was a sinner. He was born in sin and shame and iniquity, the Bible says it. But there had to come one who didn't have any sin. There had to come one who could go through sin, who could conquer sin. There had to come one that could do it. Yes, the prophets were great men. But some of them made mistakes. Yes, David was a great man. But he fell. But I'm glad he repented. And these men were great men. And they were good. They done great things. And Moses was a great man. God even said David was a man after his own heart. And the Bible says that God talked with Moses face to face. But Moses, it's not at him trying to bring up what he done wrong or didn't, but he was a prophet of God. And he said God would raise up a prophet like unto him. But he was where he struck the rock, and he shouldn't have struck the rock. But there come one who could counteract the devil. There come one who could live above sin. There come one who was born with no sin.
Amen.
And there come one who didn't commit sin.
Amen.
And there come one who was able to lay down his life and had the power to pick up his life again. There wasn't a man in this earth, or above the earth, or under the earth, or anywhere, that could do what the Lord Jesus done. Because he could do it, the only reason he could do it, he was God.
Amen. Amen.
He was God manifest in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. And he come to do it. And he done it at the place called Calvary. And the price for sin is paid tonight. And the Bible says, the prophet says, come as you are. Come without money. You don't need money tonight. It doesn't matter if you're a rich man or a poor man. Come as you are. You know, I read a wee track. I thought it was a prophet good, and I don't know why he's ever read it. Maybe you read it. But I read this wee track, and I just can't just remember the names, but I'll tell you the gist of the wee track, boys. I thought it was good. There was this man, and he had built up a great place. He had a farm. He farmed. He's lived in America, and he had a great farm and all. And things had done perfectly well, and he had prospered and done perfectly well. He'd become a very rich man. And he'd become a very rich man. And you know, he sat in there, and the south stand, it was a lovely morning. And he looked, and he stood it for a good while, and come near on lunchtime, he saddled up his horse, and he got on his horse, and he rode up from the farm, up out there to some pastures or some places they had. And he had an old man working for him. I just can't remember his name now. Could have been maybe Ben or something was his name. Maybe that wasn't right. But we'll just say it was for just the sake of telling you the story. And he read up to where he was working. This guy was an old man. Rightly on. Probably should have been retired. The man read up to him and he was having his lunch. And he had two bits of bread and a bit of boiled ham between the bread. And he just had got it out and he was just about to take the lunch. And he had bowed his head and he had prayed and he had thanked God for his lunch. And thanked him for his provision. And the next thing he heard a voice behind him and said, "Oh, good morning, Ben," or "Good day, Ben." And he turned around and it was boss. He said, "I didn't hear you there, boss. I was just giving thanks for peace and love." And he says, "Tell him, Ben, you look very happy." "Well," he says, "I am, sir. I'm happy," he says, "because God has provided," he says, "I have a good peace," he says, "here." And he says, "I have a good wee house," he says, "and I have a good bed." And he says, "I can have a good bit of heat in the house and a good fire in the house," and he says, "I'm happy." He says, "God has provided for me." And all. And he looked, your man looked at his lunch and looked at him and he said, "It's not much of a lunch," he said. And all. And he said, "I wouldn't sit down to the like of that." He says, I wouldn't sit down to that." "Well," he said, "sir, you mightn't sit down to it, but," he says, "God has provided for me," and he says, "I'm happy enough with it." And all. And he says to him, "sir," and he said to him, and he said, "go," and he said, "oh, sir, hold on for a wee second." He says, I want to talk to you." He says, "I had a dream some nights ago." And the man says, "Oh, you had a dream?" He says, "I'd like to hear it. Go on ahead, tell me." He says, "I dreamed that I went up to heaven and I went in through the gates." And he says, "When I went in through the gates," he says, "I seen the loveliest place. The nicest ever I had seen. I'd never seen nothing like it." He says, "The beauty of it. It was sparkling." And he says, "It was," he says, "words couldn't describe it. It was lovely." And he looked at him and he says to him, "Well," he says, "I'm not so sure about things like that." And he says, "No, well, you know," he says, "just, well," he says, "the man says, well," he says, "that's not really what I want to say to you." He said, "A voice spoke to me. And the voice said to me," he says, "this is such and a day, such and a day." And Ben says to him, "this is the day," and he says, "the voice said to me, the richest man in this valley is going to die tonight." And you know, your man looked at him. And he says, "Oh, that's nonsense." And he got on his horse and he turned away and he returned and he got down into the house. And when he got down into his own house and into his old place, he entered the house and he sat down and he started to think on what this Ben had said to him really bothered him. And he started to think. And he thinked, and he sort of couldn't, he tried to look at all things and get it out of his mind, but he couldn't get it out of his mind. It came back and kept barring him. And barred him so much that he didn't know what to do. And he said, then he started, he didn't really feel too good. So he sent for a doctor. And the doctor came and the doctor examined him and talked to him. And he said, "Doctor, my heart seems like going faster than it normally goes." And he says, "like I have a pain in my head. And I just don't feel the way I should feel." And the doctor, he tried to assure him and talk to him and tried to assure him and all. And while he was talking to him and tried to assure him and all of that there, there's a rap come to the door. And they went to the door and opened the door and this man came in and this man said to tell him, he said, "You didn't hear the news I come to tell you," he said, "old Ben has died. And he wants you to do his funeral arrangements. And I come for you to make the funeral arrangements." And there your man thought of her to tea and he said, "Well," he said, "the richest man," but he said it actually, he said the richest man, but he said that it actually was Ben that has died. You know, I read that account like that there. It didn't really say any more or what, that's what it said. You know, a scripture come to me. The scripture says, "It's him that is rich, yet he has nothing. And it's him that's poor, and yet he's rich." The richest man did die that night. For he was rich. For he had treasure. His treasure was laid up in heaven. It wasn't in the earth. And you know, God wants our treasure to be laid up there. Not on the earth. Now I know you need things. You need material things. I understand that. I'm not talking about material things tonight. But don't make material things your first preference. Make your soul's salvation your first preference. Make God your first choice. Put God first in your life. Honor God with the first of your substance, and God will honor you. You know, some people, what they do, you know what they do. The way they tithe whatever they've left. The first thing you do, you set it aside. Set it's the first preference. Make sure of it. Let something else come behind. But make sure of it. And you'll find that God will undertake for you. That God will bless you. That God will keep you. You know what it says? It says, how thou didst deliverest out from the heathen with thy hand. And thou plunderest them. And how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land by their own possession and by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadest favour unto them. You know, they didn't win the wars because they were good people. They didn't win the wars because they were doing right. They only won the wars because God looks after his own people. They only won the wars because God wasn't going to let that madman wipe out all the Jews that lived on the earth. You know what, I'm going to tell you something. I read an account of the thing. I'm going to have to come to a close here. Praise the Lord. I'm going to have to come. It's coming to a quarter to seven this watch. I'm coming to an end. Now, they didn't win it. They had even plans for they knew the list of all the Jews that lived in Northern Ireland. They knew the list of all the Jews that lived in Dublin, and they knew the list of all the Jews in the south of Ireland. They knew that all. And if they had won the war, they were going to take over. And you know, for some unknown reason, they stopped. Just like the First World War. They stopped on the 11th day, on the 11th of November, and it stopped at 11 o'clock. And that was the 11th month. On the 11th hour, you have to stop that. God, the angel said, stay. But you know, all these smart guys, they couldn't see that. They don't know. You hear all these men talking. I've heard them. You never hear any of them talk about the angel of Monza. Not none of them talk about that. You'll hear all about that there. And you hear it right down through, all down through how the Vatican's, what was one of those, I can't mind the name from there, but he was a well-known evangelist. He said, you know, I can't mind which of them, I think it was what did they call the man, the wee pope that retired? He resigned. What was his name? Was it Ratzinger? No. Well, anyhow, some of them wee boys, anyway, this man said he would become a born-again Christian. The man said to me one day about him being born again. I said, I did proud, you see. Was he born again? How could it? He couldn't. You know, they said when the pale rider passed him, they couldn't revive. Well, finished. How could he? Antichrist system. Antichrist, death. Death. In. Death. There's death in all these systems. All rules, all regulations. Oh, but you say, bro, you need the rules. You need to have the Holy Ghost. You can have all the rules you want, but if you're not born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll not make no rapture. You'll not be there. It's as simple as that. You know, I said the old preachers used to preach different. You know one thing about the old preachers? They weren't a bit afraid to tell you if they weren't saved, you'd go to hell. They weren't a bit afraid to tell you that. But then on the day off, you're not a bad critter. Off, you're not a, you know, you're not bad. You know, God loves you. Yes, God does love you. The Bible says that. Says God so loved the world that he gave his son. But through repentance, there's a difference in true repentance and more you make the sorry for why. But there's a difference in being sorry and repentant. Repentant means you don't ever do it again. Repentance means you don't go back to that old way of life. Repentance means you stay clear of all those old things that have fathered you and burned you. You don't give in to them. You stand against them. And God, by his Holy Spirit, enables you to be an overcomer. It says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You can overcome tonight, you know. Well, let me read you this here one just before I finish. I'm going to read you this here now if I can get it. I wrote down. I thought it was proper good. It's from the Seven Church Ages. And if you wanted to know the page, I just wrote the number of the page down just for my own sake. There was nowhere to go to read again, but it was on page. Seven Church Ages was from page 332. And I thought it was proper good when I read it. It says, "Thus saith the Amen. Jesus is the Amen of God. Jesus said, so let it be." And says, "The so let it be of God." Amen stands for finality. It stands for approval. It stands for prevailing promise. It stands for unchanging promise. It stands for seal of God. It's not perfect. Amen. That's what it stands for. It stands for seal of God. You know, it stands. It says, amen. So let it be of God. Amen stands for finality. It's final when God says amen. It can't be changed. It stands for approval. It's approved of God. It stands for prevailing promise. No matter what, it'll prevail. It can't fail. So God's word to you cannot fail. And if you take a promise of God, you can be well. That promise, it doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter you're in the fiery furnace. It doesn't matter you're in the lion's den. It doesn't matter you're passing through the floods. The Bible says they can't overflow thee. The Bible says you can pass through the fire, it will not kindle on thee. The Bible says these things because it's unchanging promise. It stands for seal of God. I thought that was wonderful. I thought it was great. Amen. God's word is sure. It's forever settled in heaven. And to say amen tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe I did. Listen, if I tell you, I wouldn't get the half of what I wanted to say said. I maybe put it about a bit too much. But let's, if you can mind one thing this evening, remember this, that God's in control. God's in charge of everything. And you know, let's see what sort of a deal they will make. I know they talk about coming out, but they don't really want to come out. They talk about this, they talk about that. They talk about all these things. But we know one thing sure tonight. It'll not, no matter what they do, they'll not do anything for the real people of God. Because actually the spirit that's in the world, leading the world, is against the people of God. But there's one thing tonight, that by Jesus says, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world."
Amen.
He says, "I have overcome the European system. I have overcome the United Nations. I have overcome the Russian army. I have overcome all these things." He says, "I am the Amen."
Amen.
What did John say? He said, "Lord, come quickly."
Yes.
"Even so, Lord, come quickly." Amen. May God bless you tonight. Just let's have it. Father God, we just bow in thy presence tonight. We thank you, Lord, even for the service this morning, for thy blessing. We thank you, Lord, for the young man that's in this house tonight that are able to come and bring a word from the Lord. We're able to come up and expand your scriptures. We thank you for these young men, even us in this building tonight. And we pray, God, even for, even, Lord, young men and even for older men tonight. And Father, we just pray for every brother in here that ministers, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And God, we pray for every brother and sister, Lord. Lord, we're not saying that we're above them or about. We're not that, Lord. But, oh God, we're all brothers and sisters in the name of the Lord Jesus tonight. And Father, we pray thy blessing upon thy people tonight. We pray, God, you'll bless. We pray, Lord, you'll undertake. We pray, God, tonight for touches in our bodies tonight. We pray, Lord, tonight meet every financial need in this house tonight. We pray, Father God, open our hearts and quicken us, Lord. Give us a love to read thy Bible. And give us a love for thy word, Lord. And, oh God, we look to thee, for we know, God, you'll guide us. You said you'll guide us even unto death. And, Lord, we know that if we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. And, Father God, we pray thy blessing on people tonight. Undertake for that young man as he would go to school. Undertake for that young girl as she'd go to school. Only to provide the old man and his working. Lord, for everyone tonight, Father, we just commit them to Thee. We commit ourselves to Thee tonight. But we know, Lord God, that they are coming soon. We pray, Father, bless Thy people. Bless tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. And Father, we ask this blessing tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh God, quicken our word to our hearts. Maybe not the best laid out tonight, Lord, but oh God, Thou knowest the thought tonight. And Thou knowest the things, Father, in the name of Jesus, we commit them to Thee. For I ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus, amen and amen. Praise God. Now our time is just, it's gone just, praise the Lord. It's just coming, what, a quarter, just between a quarter and 10 to 7. And the Lord bless you now. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand and pray. The Lord's good, isn't it? Just want to thank my dad for bringing the word tonight. Praise God. And I didn't give these fellas much notice of preaching, but I just thank the Lord they've come tonight and enjoyed the word of the Lord. Thank God for His word, isn't it? As long as you have the Lord, it doesn't matter about nothing else. It's not right. Praise God. If you cast your vote in Jesus, you're on the winning side. Praise God. Just to say, we might be having Brother Andrew Beecham next month. I've contacted him today. Andrew was meant to come a while back, but then because my brother Brian came, we had to put it back a bit. So we're hoping Brother Andrew will come in December, start of December. So pray for Brother Andrew coming, and then pray for myself as well. Brother Brian's invited me and Andrew over to preach and the Easter meetings next year in Australia. And just pray for that. And pray also, there's a brother who's asked me to come to Canada. And he's praying about the dates about that. And just keep that in your prayers as well. Don't forget a Wednesday night prayer meeting. Come along. If you're free, come and let's be praying for God. For we are living in terrible times. But I believe there's a hunger. I believe there's a deep hunger. God's going to do something. I believe that. And I'm praying to that end, and I trust you are as well, praise God. I'm not going to take no time up, but Brother Gary's going to come. And the Lord bless each one tonight. God bless you.
Let us sing that hymn, Happy Together. Fill my way every day with love. Let the God bless the Lord. Let the day of God be straight.